Chicago, Chicago, that toddle in town.
Well, not really a good afternoon, only we'd love everybody to listen to us. But it's a little cold out there. Easter and is coming on Sunday, and I hope we don't have a snowstorm.
I hope not, you know. And, boy, I'll tell you, all the poor people, I see them already planting their flowers.
Right.
And these beautiful shoots coming up out of the ground.
I've never gotten into that. I've never figured out why a guy will break his back weekend after weekend to plant something that he's going to have to break his back weekend to weekend to cut it. I've just never figured that one out. But however, I'm
grass.
A little slow in the brain, as everybody knows. How are you today, Chris?
I'm just fine, Fred.
Number
how
one
are
here,
you?
Matt's over there. He's writing his list right now. He's going to have a dinner over at the White Eagle for 1,000 people, and he's writing the list right now.
Yes, so. He's preparing. All he needs now is a prospective bride. He's all set to go. Any volunteers out there? You can call in 708-493-1530.
That's 708-493-1530.
Right, and you can talk to us about whatever you want to talk about.
Well,
but we do have a very, very busy show today.
Yes.
And we're going to have some extremely interesting guests. As we had mentioned last week, we're going to be talking about Easter and Passover holidays, and then all of the different events around the city that have to do with the different various activities leading up to this weekend. So we're going to be visited by Pat Mikelski, who will be calling in about 2:05. Pat Mikelski is assistant to Cook County Treasurer Maria Pappas in the Ethnic Affairs area, and she's going to be talking about different functions that will be taking place. And then we'll be hearing from Walt Shanefus, who is the pastor of St. Paul Lutheran Church in Norwood Park, giving us a little bit of a history on the breakdown of the traditions and customs of the Western Christian Easter holiday. And then we'll be hearing from Rabbi Nina Mizrahi from the Jewish Community Center, who will be calling. Actually, we did a pre-taping with her on the traditions of Passover. And then a little bit later, Judy Malloy, Marketing and Communications Director for the Chicago Park District, will be calling in.
So you should have a very busy either Passover or Easter,
mm-hmm.
Depending, you know, what your faith is.
Mm-hmm.
Pat is unbelievable.
Yes.
I don't know how she gets all these names, because she goes to these different functions. She can speak right first-handedly about the people that she talked to about what's going to happen and so forth. She's
mm-hmm.
a very interesting girl.
Yes.
We felt because of the Passover and Easter come right together, it would be nice to know if you of another faith, what these faiths mean a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a lot of questions, I'm sure, through the years people have in their mind. Of course, who takes time to look them up? But it would be nice now to just kind of package each one and say, well, this does this and that does that, and that's why it's the way it is. Yeah?
Yes, and the way they coincide date-wise. And, of course, so many of the beliefs, the base beliefs, are there for both.
Right. So it should be interesting.
Mm-hmm. It certainly should. And talking about Easter Sunday coming along, the White Eagle is one of the many places in the city that's hosting an Easter Sunday brunch. And this year, as in years past, they have a wonderful selection in family style, as most people who are familiar with the White Eagle Banquets and Restaurant know that they do a wonderful job on that. You can set up your whole family with a complete table. Or, you know, bring family, friends to the White Eagle, a 60-year tradition of the highest quality of food, service, and value. They're at 6839 North Milwaukee Avenue in Niles. Their phone number, 847-647-0660. You want to call soon, because it's getting awfully close to the holiday, to see what they have left in accommodations. But for throughout the year, they offer banquet facilities for 40 to 1,000-plus people, customized menus, full package plans, private bridal and meeting rooms, 5 acres of parking, which is very unusual, for weddings, anniversaries, showers, luncheons, corporate events, dinner dances, trade shows. Visit their website, thewhiteeagle.com, and you can view their photo gallery and their complete menu. But for this Sunday coming up, Easter Sunday, call the White Eagle and make a reservation, 847-647-0660. Should be a lovely event. and Nelson Funeral Home, who has been family-owned and operated since 1929, has two convenient, home-like, comfortable locations, one in Park Ridge at the intersection of Cumberland and Talcott, that's at 820 Talcott, and one in Andersonville, and that's at 5149 North Ashland Avenue. They offer traditional services, memorial celebrations, cremation options, and pre-planning, and they invite you to do price comparisons with their funeral home versus others in the area. You can call them at 847-823-5122. That's 847-823-5122, or visit them online, nelsonfunerals.com. So talk to them about pre-planning options and pricing options to fit all your needs. Nelson Funeral Homes, family owned and operated since 1929.
Very good. That White Eagle dinner should be a magnificent dinner.
Yes.
I know they have great food.
They do, and just all the favorites, and it's a nice way to celebrate with your family and friends, and they have all kinds of little extra things, you know, bunnies for the kids and gift baskets for everyone, so it's a festive affair, and of course music, and just a nice time.
Because of them, we met Father Rogue, who does the story on downtown
on Bucktown.
And of course, he's done a terrific story. We've gotten a lot of input back from people all over the country. They pick it up on the podcast when he was on here, and then of course on our regular website. We have each newspaper printed exactly the way it was printed. Mm-hmm. So it was. It's been good. Because we've gotten a lot of excitement out of that. And Father Rogue, you'll not meet a better man.
No.
Just terrific.
And he's busy this week, I'm sure. But he's going to be visiting with us again on the radio. I know he's been on with us once, talking a little bit about his history of Bucktown, as only he can portray it.
Mm-hmm.
We also have someone else that's going to be participating with us. The Mirabelle Restaurant is offering now gift certificates for lucky callers who call in, but we'll be talking a little bit more about them later. And we also
have win a good dinner.
Theater tickets to give out as well. So a lot of good things going on in the neighborhood. And I think we have a caller coming in.
Is the board ringing?
Pat Mikelski.
Pat, how are you today?
Fred, how are you?
Fine, you're
happy
looking well.
Happy Easter.
Well, happy Easter to you, too. I know you've got a list of things. You've been out all over the place. I don't know how you keep up with all these things.
It's fun. It's
great. I said to Chris, I'm not going to give your age away, but I know you're not 20. And how she
three
goes,
and a half times that, Fred.
I said to a lot of people, just watching you makes me tired.
Oh, Fred, please.
If I want to get worn out, I just sit and watch you work.
But, you know, going to these ethnic events is so exciting and so much fun. And I think it's such an honor and privilege to share in these wonderful events, you know?
Well, Pat,
people travel the world, and we've got it right here in Chicago.
All of it. You know, everybody, or a lot of people seem to forget that every one of us came from somewhere other
exactly.
than America at some
exactly.
point in the chain of the tree, you know? And it's so nice to be able to talk about all the different groups here because, you know, it's just wonderful that a city has so much of this, you know? And you're the type of person that helps people to work together, by the way.
That's one of my goals in my life, that we come together in peace, understanding, respect, and appreciation of one another and our culture and heritage.
Amen.
We have so much to learn from one another.
Well, what do we got going today?
Well, we had mentioned about what are some of the Easter traditions.
Mm-hmm.
And there's just so many. I don't know where to begin, but I'm going to do the best I can, okay? Well, I'll start out, of course, with Mardi Gras. A lot of these groups had their Mardi Gras parties and so forth because Lent was coming up. And during Lent, of course, they fast and they make an extra effort to do good works and so forth. And, of course, the next very important day is Palm Sunday. Now, on Palm Sunday, there were many, many events. For example, the Polish Women's Civic Club, which donates just so much money to charity, had their annual Palm Sunday luncheon with quite a large crowd. And then the Croatian Women's Group, number 1, they have a luncheon every year on Palm Sunday, and their money goes to children. And then the Slovenes have a beautiful Slovene center out in Lamont. They have this beautiful procession. And they carry what they make these ahead of time. It's straw flowers and branches and so forth, formed in a beautiful, like I wouldn't say bouquet, but like a they hold in their hand. They carry this procession. They go from the church to the center. Then afterwards, they have a program. They have a wonderful luncheon. They share their culture. And there are so many different customs. For example, I visited the Bulgarian church out in Des Plaines on Palm Sunday, and the priest hands people a branch from a weeping willow tree, and the people form it in like a circle, and they wear it on their head like the crown of thorns that Christ wore. It was so beautiful, very symbolic. Then also afterwards, they have a luncheon in the church.
Where is that again, Pat?
It's St. Sophia Bulgarian Church. It's on Oakton Avenue in Des Plaines.
It's very interesting, yeah?
A beautiful big church. Yeah. And you always feel welcome there. They have a wonderful center there where families come together. It's wonderful to see. Then I was also at the Assyrian Church in Chicago. And they, too, had just a huge, huge crowd. And they had, like, a breakfast afterwards. It's like hard-boiled eggs and so forth. And it's a social. But the people had taken their palms and made little crosses on them, and they were wearing these crosses on their lapels, which I thought was symbolic and very beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And also on Good Friday, then of course, there's so many things going on Palm Sunday. The Irish Heritage Center had a big mass and luncheon afterwards. And again, like I say, it's a very important day to a lot of the people.
Well,
and next, of course, we have Good Friday. And of course, Good Friday is a really a wonderful day, and it's so religious. For example, in the Hispanic area in Pilsen, several churches come together and they have this fantastic procession. And each of the stations of the cross are symbolic. It's something meaningful in their community. And they actually have a man who's selected to be Christ, and this man prepares all year for this. He prepares spiritually, physically, and mentally for this great honor of representing Christ, and he carries the cross through the streets, and all the people follow him, and they even have men dressed like the Roman soldiers up on horses, and then the procession goes to this one hill in the park, and they raise the three crosses, and there's Christ and the two thieves represented hanging on the cross. It's very symbolic and very meaningful.
That's very inspiring, and that is very big, and it's beautiful, and people should try to get to that.
It's gorgeous.
That's really nice.
It's just, you never forget if you see it, you know. And then also on Good Friday, for years, the Italian groups gathered at St. Ferdinand's at the Austin and Belmont in Chicago, but now this year it's been moved. They have 36 Italian societies that participate in this liturgy and then the big procession afterwards. And they have the liturgy, and 32 societies will carry their banners in this torchlight procession and take it through the streets. The Sicilian band will follow, and it's a beautiful, beautiful, meaningful, very special event also.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, we come up to Holy Saturday, and one of my favorite events I go to every year is the Polish Highlanders. This is a beautiful, beautiful group of Polish people who are from the mountains in Poland, who are very passionate about their heritage and their culture and about their children. And they have this, the man from the group who has the radio program every year has this wonderful Easter party for the children. And they have somebody that teaches the children how to color the eggs. Then they have a contest of the baskets, and the baskets are unbelievable. They have, then they're like maybe 400 or 500 baskets, and they have some judges. You got to pick out the best ones. And I was the judge one year, and it was the most difficult decision because one basket is more beautiful than the other. And these baskets are symbolic of that. The Polish, as many other European groups, they prepare this basket. They lay a beautiful doily in the bottom. They put a part of each of the foods that they eat on the next day in the basket, and they take it to church to be blessed. They cover it with like another napkin, and they may have pussy willows and flowers and so forth to decorate. It's really beautiful. It's a very strong custom, and this group is so much fun to be with. The children have a wonderful party, and they get a lot of prizes, and the 2000 from the program do a good job with that. Then, and you mentioned that church in Des Plaines, a Bulgarian church, on Sunday, on Easter Sunday, they have their liturgy. Then afterwards, in the hall, they have lamb stuffed with rice, which is just delicious.
Mm.
So some people stay for the dinner, and then some go home. It depends, you know.
Very
so
good.
That is, like I say, it's a real important
thing. Well, you got a lot of things on your plate to do.
I sure do.
I have given up something for Lent. I thought it was important.
What's
so I gave up rhubarb.
Rhubarb?
Yeah.
And I love rhubarb.
I like it, too. I haven't seen any in years.
You're funny. And another really very wonderful custom on Holy Thursday is the Catholics especially visit seven churches. And some of the churches even rent a bus that you can go on. Like, for example, Our Lady of Pompeii has a bus where you go visit seven churches, which is a beautiful custom. So the churches are decorated very beautiful and very special.
That's nice.
On that day. Uh-huh.
The seven churches. That's,
yes. Uh-huh.
That's quite a tradition through the, you know, through the whole country, I believe.
Yeah,
Pat, I
got more.
You got more?
Oh, yeah.
Can you call back later?
If you want me to.
Hold on.
Yes, because we actually have Pastor Shane from Norwood Park, I'm sorry, St. Paul Lutheran Church calling in right now. And,
beautiful. Uh-huh.
If you can call back a little bit later, Pat, like around 10 to 3.
10 to 3. Okay,
could
good.
Could you do that?
I'll be
happy. We would love it, really.
See you at 10 to 3.
Okay.
Bye-bye. Happy Easter.
Hey, Pat, thanks so
bye-bye.
Far. It's been great. Good morning. Good afternoon, Pastor. How are you today?
I'm very well, thank you.
Good, good.
Thank you for calling in, Pastor.
Chris has some questions for you, I think.
Well, I think, Pastor, you're going to have to guide us through this as well. But just to remind our listeners, we're talking to Walt Shanefuss, who is the pastor of St. Paul Lutheran Church in Norwood Park. And that's Norwood Park Township, is it not, at 5650 North Canfield?
That's correct.
Yes, very good. And it was so kind of you to call in today, Pastor. I know it's a very busy week for everyone in your line of work particularly. But we were hoping that you would be able to just give us a little bit of an overview on the traditions and the customs of the Christian faith leading up to the Easter holiday, perhaps Holy Week, and then leading up to Easter.
Okay.
And I know you and I had spoken previously on this particular subject, that there's a difference between the Western Christian faith versus the Eastern Christian faith, although the basics are still the same, but the Orthodox faith being perhaps Greek Orthodox, Russian Orthodox, and then the Western Christian faith that would take in the Protestant religions, the Roman Catholic religions. But I think what we're going to focus on today is the Western Christian faith. And can you tell us, just not that all of us don't know this already, but what is the Easter celebration all about?
For us, it is the celebration of the resurrection of Jesus from the dead.
And you want to speak up just a little bit, Father? I'm sorry,
okay.
Pastor.
It is a celebration of the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. We believe that Jesus is God, the Son of God, in human form, and that he offered his life as a sacrifice when he died on the cross on Good Friday. And then on the third day, on Easter, he rose physically from the dead, guaranteeing eternal life to all who put their faith in him. And that kind of, in a nutshell, is what we celebrate on Easter. We celebrate the resurrection. And we celebrate what the resurrection means for us who put their faith in Christ.
Yes, and the Holy Week, of course, leading up to Easter. Take us a little bit through what the traditions and the celebrations and
okay.
The
tradition usually begins on the Sunday before with Palm Sunday, which commemorates Jesus' entry into Jerusalem just prior to his arrest and conviction and so on. And so many churches will have a Palm Sunday celebration, decorating the church with palm branches, and in many cases they will be handing out palm branches to their parishioners as they leave church that day. And then on Thursday of the week, Maundy Thursday, tomorrow, there is the commemoration of Jesus' last night with his disciples, in which he established or instituted the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. It was also on that night in which he went into the Garden of Gethsemane and was betrayed by Judas, arrested by the authorities, and then everything began kind of like a juggernaut, if you will, that resulted in his crucifixion on Friday. In our church, we have Maundy Thursday services. Many churches will. Some Christian churches on Maundy Thursday will celebrate a Christian Passover Seder, to kind of show the connection between the Passover and the Lord's Supper.
That's interesting.
Feel free to interrupt me anytime.
Oh, no, that's all right. I was just commenting that was it's something I wasn't aware of, certainly.
Yes, and we are not doing that in our congregation, but many congregations will do a Passover Seder that is designed, from a Christian point of view, to show the connection between the Passover and the Lord's Supper, because Jesus, when he instituted the Lord's Supper, he used elements of the Passover, the wine and the bread in particular.
Mm-hmm.
And then there are a variety of traditions that some churches also do. There's a thing called the stripping of the altar that takes place on Maundy Thursday, in which the altar itself is completely laid bare, if you will. All the paraments, all the decorations are taken off of the altar to symbol the humiliation that Jesus went through on our behalf. Then on Good Friday, many churches from 12 to 3 o'clock will have what's known as a tre ore service, which means 3 hours, symbolizing the 3 hours that Jesus hung on the cross. For example, I am participating in the tre ore service at Messiah Lutheran Church on Addison in the city. And all the pastors who are participating will be focusing on the 7 last words of Jesus from the cross. In our own church on Friday evening, as with many churches, there will be a service of darkness called Tenebrae. And that is a service that focuses in, it's a very quiet, reflective, somber worship service, and we really focus our attention on what Jesus went through so that our sins might be paid for. And the service ends in darkness. It's a very dramatic service that symbolizes the utter darkness of what happened on Good Friday when Jesus died to take away our sins. And so the people will leave a darkened church in silence, in quiet. Again, it's a very somber, dramatic order of service. Then many churches on Holy Saturday will have what is known as an Easter Vigil, in which you enter that same darkened church, but gradually the lights begin to come on to symbolize the coming of the Easter dawn. And then in our congregation in particular, about halfway through the service, we read the Easter Gospel, the story of Jesus' resurrection. And at that point, the lights all come on. We sing our first Alleluia hymn, because a tradition is that you do not sing any hymns or songs that have the word Alleluia during the season of Lent.
No, I didn't realize that either. My goodness.
And that's something that at that service on Holy Saturday, that's what we do. And then from that point on, as far as we're concerned, it's Easter. And then on Sunday morning, the celebration continues. A lot of churches will do Easter breakfasts. A lot of churches will do a sunrise service, usually somewhere around 6 or 6:30 in the morning. We will have a sunrise service for the hearty few people who want to get up that early.
And, of course, you have to be up that early.
Yes, of course.
Pastor, when you were talking about the Saturday with the coming into the church and the lights going on, and this is actually the beginning of Easter, then did I understand you correctly on that?
Yes, from our point of view, once the vigil, the vigil is the transition from Good Friday to Easter.
Mm-hmm. So then, the belief would be then that is the moment that Christ has risen, correct?
Well, no, we would not say that, because the Bible is very clear that it was just before dawn on the first day of the week. So we do not say that. It's just that in many parts of the world, and in biblical times as well, the day begins not at sunrise, but at sunset.
Yes.
And so, for all intents and purposes, it is, once the sun has set on Saturday, it is now Sunday, in that tradition. And so we're observing that tradition and allowing ourselves to celebrate Easter even before it's Easter. It's kind of like Christmas Eve. Really isn't Christmas yet, but we celebrate. It's like we can't wait to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus.
Yes.
We don't want to wait till Sunday morning.
Right, and of course, in the Christian religion, this is the highest of the holidays.
Yes.
Well, go ahead.
It is the one. It's the make or break holiday of Christianity, because it says in the Bible, again in 1 Corinthians 15, that if Jesus had not been raised from the dead, then our faith is in vain. So we celebrate the resurrection because we believe he is risen from the dead, and that makes all the difference.
Yes.
So there's a lot of happy hymns, a lot of fanfare that many churches will incorporate in their worship on Easter Sunday.
How beautiful, and what a wonderful, wonderful job you do also, and we hope that you have a wonderfully blessed Easter holiday, you and your parish, and we hope to talk to you again in the future, just a little bit more about perhaps the background of the Christian faith and your perspective on that. Was there any parting words you'd like to leave for us that perhaps you'd like to share?
Well, I'd just like to wish your listeners a blessed and happy Easter, or as I like to call it, a happy Resurrection Day.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We thank you so much for coming on.
Oh, you're very welcome.
And it enlightens people. As you know, if we all could just learn a little bit more about the other person, we might then start to say, well, he's not all that bad, or it isn't that odd, or it isn't this, or it isn't that, and actually get closer together. It just seems that it's going to be by educating people to say this is the way it is where we come from. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
And we do appreciate your input on this. Thank you, and have a lovely Easter.
You too.
Thank you, Pastor. And that was Pastor Walt Shainfuss of St. Paul Lutheran Church in Norwood Park Township. And it's interesting because we're going to be now, as the pastor led us into so beautifully, the link between the Passover celebration and the Christian Easter celebration, of course, are intertwined, just two separate paths that we've taken. But now we're going to be hearing a pre-taped segment from Rabbi Nina Mizrahi, who is with the Jewish Community Centers of Chicago, the Pritzker Center for Jewish Education. We're very honored to be joined today by Rabbi Nina Mizrahi of the Jewish Community Centers of Chicago, Pritzker Center for Jewish Education. The rabbi will be educating and informing us a bit today on the traditions of the Jewish Passover. And Rabbi, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks, my pleasure for being here.
Good afternoon, Rabbi. I find you in a good mood today, I hope, and ready to talk about Passover.
Absolutely. Passover is one of the three festivals in Judaism. In particular, it is called the Festival of Freedom because it marks the Exodus from Egypt. It's the time when we retell the story of how the Israelites were enslaved under Pharaoh, and they made an exodus out of Egypt into freedom. They crossed the Red Sea, and then begins the growth and development of Judaism and the Jewish people. Passover is celebrated through a Seder. We hold a Seder meal, and there are a variety of rituals, and there's a set order. The name of the book that we read from is called a Haggadah, because in Hebrew, Lahagid means to tell. So literally, the book is about the telling. And the dinner itself is called a Seder, because Seder means order, and we go about things in a particular order. So we begin with how we set the table, which is really interesting in and of itself. On the table, you will find three matzahs. That's the flat bread that we eat, because when the Israelites left Egypt, they didn't have time for their bread to rise, and so they had unleavened bread. And to this day, Jews not only eat matzah during the Passover holiday, but refrain from eating any leavened products, and those products are called chametz, anything with leavening. And we also learn from that the idea that yeast is something that grows and grows and really leaves no room for change, and it fills up space. So we think about getting rid of leavened products is also spiritually a way of getting rid of our arrogance and our selfishness and really coming back to understanding what's important. So we have the three matzot, and then we have something called a Seder plate. And on that Seder plate, we have a roasted shank bone. We have a food called charoset, which is to remind us of the mortar that held the bricks together. And depending upon what your cultural background is, there are all different types of charoset, ranging from apples and wine and walnuts and cinnamon to I make an Italian charoset, or you can make a Yemenite charoset with different spices, different fruits, but it's the same idea. Mm-hmm. We also have bitter herbs to remind us of the bitterness of slavery. We have an egg, a roasted egg, which symbolizes spring. And we also have greens. We have parsley, which represents the coming of spring. In addition to that, we have two cups that are not, one does not drink from. One is Elijah's cup. Elijah the prophet represents the future time when the whole world will be healed and whole and will be free from war and famine and illness. And we now have a new tradition of adding something called a Miriam's cup. While the Israelites were in the desert, tradition tells us that asks us, how did we have water? And the answer was, as long as Miriam the prophetess was alive, there was a well of water that traveled with the Israelites through the wilderness. Mm. And when Miriam died, the well of water dried up. So we commemorate Miriam and the idea that in order to live in the present, we need water. So Miriam represents our need to care for one another in the present, and Elijah represents our hope that one day the world will be a place where everyone is free and everyone can live happily together.
Now, everyone, as I think we had talked a little bit before the program, Rabbi, everyone participates in the Seder dinner. Is that correct?
Oh, yes. It's intergenerational. It's a lot of fun. It's based on a series of questions and answers. Everybody jokes about who is the youngest who will recite the four questions. Each question begins, why is this night different from all other nights? On all other nights, we eat leavened bread. On this night, we only eat matzah. And there are three other questions. And traditionally, the youngest child chants those questions, and then everyone participates in reading from the Haggadah and answering the questions and retelling the story. Actually, it's very experiential. We have the visual of how we set the table. We have the songs. We sing many, many songs. Elu Hotzi Hotzianu and Dayenu. And sometimes you'll hear, If I Had a Hammer or Let My People Go, which are more American songs mm-hmm. about freedom. But that's the connection, because the desire for freedom is for freedom for all of human beings. We taste all kinds of things. We taste the maror, which is bitter. We taste the charoset, which is sweet. We dip the parsley in salt water in order to remember the tears of slavery. The Haggadot themselves are very beautiful, and there are many with very beautiful pictures. There are also many different types of Haggadot. There's the traditional Haggadah, and then there are those for children. There's a feminist Haggadah. There's a black Jewish Haggadah. I have a Haggadah that is intended for Jewish and Christian women to tell together, to have very special Seder. So there, in contemporary times, there really, every year, we look to see new commentaries and new Haggadahs that come forth to reflect on the issues of slavery and liberation in contemporary times, as well as the traditional story.
Mm-hmm.
Some people put a brick on the table to represent slavery. Some people set the table when they have little children with all kinds of representations of the 10 plagues. There'll be frogs and there'll be sunglasses to represent the plague of darkness. You can put red food coloring in a glass. and let it dry, and then magically when you pour a pitcher of water in, the water is red and it looks like blood. So all of this is done at home in a place where people are relaxed, they're with family and friends, and hopefully have invited guests who may not have other people with whom to have Seder. Mm-hmm. And it is both a very serious message in terms of retelling the story, reminding us that not all people are free. It is intended to be fun and to engage children in the storytelling. It is also an opportunity to reflect together, to really talk together about concerns, whether it's the environment or what's going on in Darfur or any of our concerns. And the purpose of the Seder is not just to have a ritual moment. It is to inspire us to make changes, that when we leave the Seder and we go on and we have reduced our arrogance, we are more humble and aware of the things that we need to do in order to make the world a better place.
It's a beautiful tradition. And of course, this occurs after sundown at the very beginning of Passover. And then I believe you said that this lasts for up to 8 days.
Yes, Passover is for 8 days. So for 8 days, we refrain from eating any leavened products. And what you will see is the first 2 days of the holiday and the last 2 days of the holiday are full holidays. One would go to synagogue and special prayers are said that are, it's called Hallel, and they're sung, they're very beautiful. They're psalms of praise and thanksgiving, and they're connected to nature. They're really lovely. And then in the intermediate days called Chol HaMoed, it's a semi-festival. So it's a time where you'll see lots of families taking time together to have a picnic, because of course they're not eating out,
mm-hmm.
having picnics, enjoying one another, and celebrating the arrival of spring.
Very nice. It coincides usually at the same time that spring begins, and also very close to the Christian Easter celebration. Is that correct?
Yes. Well, we follow a lunar solar calendar, so we are not on exactly the same calendar. It falls in the Hebrew month of Nisan.
Mm-hmm.
So whenever that falls, it could fall at the very, very end of March. It could fall all the way into April, several weeks into April. It just mm-hmm. depends on where we are in the Jewish calendar.
Mm-hmm.
Rabbi, you speak of the Passover, and a lot of it's referred to in this country. You've even said, like, music is, some of the music has really developed out of this country. Does the Jewish faith, it's all over the world, do they all have Passover, and do they all pretty much do the same ritual?
Yes, Jews all over the world celebrate Passover. Now, keeping in mind that some of the foods might be different. So if you live in Italy, you might make your charoset in a particular way and serve certain recipes, as opposed to a Chinese Jew or a Jew in South America or South Africa. The thing that is in common is that there is a Seder meal that has a certain structure, even if they're using different Haggadahs, different stories of telling it. All of them contain the same basic story of the Exodus from Egypt. And depending upon the particular tradition of a family, may also address other interests with regard to liberation. So we talked a little bit about that. Now, there are other customs. For example, certain Sephardic Jews actually walk around the table. They put on robes as if they were in the wilderness, and they put sacks on their backs, and they literally walk around the table to reenact the Exodus from Egypt. What's very interesting about the Jewish people is that we have something called the Joint Distribution Committee that locates Jews all over the world. There could be five Jews in a village somewhere in the Ukraine, for example, and manages to get everything that those people need to make a Seder to them. Sometimes they drop it from the air. But it's a very interesting idea that it's such an important holiday that we celebrate it together, and despite the differences in our languages, because Jews could be speaking their vernacular language, could be any language because we live all over the world, that we come together at this moment and mark this time of liberation together, and that we want to make sure that everyone who can observe the Seder and Passover is able to. So I thought that that's really neat.
Yes, it's a unifying force, really, amongst the Jewish people.
Yes, it is.
So you could go to a Seder dinner in South America and feel quite at home, other than the language barrier.
Absolutely. It's that way for a lot of Jewish traditions. Mm-hmm. Today, we have a lot of contemporary additions in terms of commentaries and melodies and whatnot, but the basics are the basics. The four questions are the four questions, the 10 plagues are the 10 plagues, and everybody's eating matzah.
And then Passover ends after the 8-day period, and then is there any particular celebration that goes into the finalization of Passover?
For most people, no. There are some cultures that have a celebration where they mark the end of Passover by having a very big meal. Lots of people go out and might have a pizza or something, or pasta, but it's really not so bad.
Very good. Well, we thank you for coming here and talking to us about this. I'm sure this will help a lot of people, and maybe you want to add just a little more if you want to.
Actually, as a closing thought, I learned something this year that I'd like to share with everyone because it's kind of interesting. In the past years, it has become a contemporary tradition to put an orange on the Seder plate. And there are all kinds of reasons why, but I wanted to share with you one that, really gave me pause to think, and I hope it will for the listener. And that is, if one opens up an orange and divides it into all the segments, we can gain an appreciation for the fact that there are still many people in our society, in our communities, that are segmented and marginalized. And as we look at the orange on the Seder plate, all of us need to remember the poor, the homeless, the handicapped, the simple, the abused, those who live alone, the elderly, the widow and the widower, gays and lesbians, the infirmed. And you can add to that list of all people who remain exiled from community. And if the Jewish people can really share a message at this time of year, it is that very profound hope that there will be an end to all people who are in exile, and that we will come together, all of humanity, and work together toward peace, health, and happiness.
Thank you. Thank you.
That's a beautiful thought.
Hope that would come to pass. Thank you very much, and thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
That was very, very nice.
Very nice, and we want to thank so much Pastor Shane Foos and Rabbi Mizrahi for their wonderful and beautiful descriptions of this season.
And now to talk on the other side, or a little bit more upbeat as far as what's happening, we have who on?
Well, Judy Malloy from the Chicago Park District is calling in.
She'll have her on 1 minute.
Yes, but, you know, talking about the season and celebrations of faith and caring and compassion have been pretty much the focus of our program so far today. We have a caring concept. Number one, with immediate and personal response to your needs, a caring concept to help you be at home. Their goal is to meet your individual needs by providing experienced referenced caregivers, that be homemakers, companions, certified nurses' aides, private duty aides, to help you do light housekeeping, prepare meals, accompany you away from home, assist you with ambulation and other activities of the daily care that you might need, personal grooming, etc. They have shorter long-term availability, no contract is required. Their agency is licensed, bonded, and insured. And you can call them easily at 773-539-6600 or visit them online at acaringconcept.com. That's acaringconcept.com for more information. Run by Dennis Lemke and Laura Hartley at 773-539-6600. A caring concept to help you be at home. And now we'll hear from Judy Malloy, Chicago Park District.
Hi, how are you guys?
Judy, how are you today?
Real good.
You're looking well?
Yes.
It's a little cold out.
It is, and it was snowing a little bit ago.
We were just laughing not long ago. It must be a great day down at the old ballpark with the White Sox, I think, are playing.
I'm sure it is. Everyone, you know, needs to be inside today.
Well, how are you anyway? How's the park going?
Real good. Real good. We're real busy right now. You know, finishing off our Easter events, you know, for this weekend.
Yeah, we printed all those this last time, I believe.
We have lots going on still. You know, there's some bunny bonanzas where parents can bring their kids out and enjoy a little light lunch or breakfast.
When is that? Where?
We have one tomorrow over at Merrimack Park.
Mm-hmm.
And then on Saturday, we have one at Pottawatomie Park.
Mm-hmm.
So those are two of the bigger events that we're doing.
Uh-huh.
But all our events are listed on the website. So if anybody just wanted to find out what still is happening, they could go to ChicagoParkDistrict.com and just go to the events section. And all the events are listed there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So we just had one today over at Wells Park, and we had over 250 people there.
That's terrific. I hope we contributed by our writing.
I'm sure you guys did.
And that's over in Lincoln Square. That's a very large park district over there.
Yeah, yeah. And it's
You don't believe that? I thought it was a big guy with ears out there. Well, that's Harvey. And he used to run around at night and drop these eggs. No?
Well, just like Santa has little helpers, the Easter Bunny has helpers, too.
Yes. Well, that's good. He needs them.
Exactly.
You're the marketing and communications director for the Chicago Park District. So that job, of course, sounds so overwhelming. I can't imagine how you handle everything that goes on with your job.
Just balancing everything.
Yes, and I'm sure there's so much coordination that goes in, you know, not only for these special seasonal events, but just on a regular basis for the Park District.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. We just started this week was the first week of spring programs. So we still are taking registration for spring, which, as I said, started this week and then runs through June 11th. So if anybody still is looking for something to do, we still are taking registration until classes are all full.
Very
so
good.
Could, you know, hop on over to their local park and see what's available.
Hop over like a bunny, right?
Hop on over like a bunny. Yeah, yeah.
Do you have a number that anybody can reach you at?
Sure. Our general line is 742-PLAY. And that's the line that we recommend the public calling. And
what is it again?
742-PLAY.
And that's 773?
It's 312.
Oh, yeah. So,
yeah.
312.
742-PLAY.
Very good.
312-742-PLAY.
Yeah, and that's a general number that we give. They would have information for the entire city.
Well, you know, Judy, you do an awful lot of work for the people. And, you know, everybody talks about neighborhoods. Our paper goes out to neighborhoods, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But there are a lot of things that make up a neighborhood.
Absolutely.
And I think one of the biggest things around the city of Chicago are your areas where you work in the park district, and then you have your parks, and that's part of that neighborhood. And
mm-hmm.
I think it's very, very important, and it brings people out and, you know, to do things, and it's just wonderful the work that you do because you have such great programs that you run.
And
you
know, such a gathering point, yes.
It's a fun place to work.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
but you've made it that way, and
exactly.
And people should appreciate all the work that goes into one of these things. You know, it's fun to go over there and play, but nobody stops to realize all the things that have to be done in order so they can play.
No, and that's why we're, you know, always so happy when we do get compliments from the public.
Well,
on the work that, you know, the park staff does, and you know, all the instructors, and I mean, there's a whole bunch of people that, you know, put everything together.
And the programs are generally free, are they not?
Some are free, but we always try to make them affordable.
Mm-hmm.
We do, you know, for our summer day camp, there are fees that go along with that.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's lots of things that we put out for it.
Mm-hmm.
So we try to keep it, you know, very reasonable, and affordable for, you know, for the community residents.
Sure, but to use, I guess what I meant more was the to use the facilities if there's a, you know, a baseball diamond or a swimming pool generally.
Yeah, like anything. It depends if you want exclusive use, you know, to reserve it, then there is a fee. But if you just want to go out and, you know, go play catch with the kids, you know, that's where you go.
Right, yes. And of course, the center of the community has always been around parks. In fact, we've been doing a series of articles in our paper, and we had him with us on our program a couple of weeks ago, Reverend Francis Rogue, Father Rogue, who actually has been giving us the history of Bucktown. Bucktown was a four-square block area where I think everybody from the city must have lived there at one time or another from the acclaim he's gotten with his articles. But everything in that community centered around Holstein Park.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, most of the communities, I think, around the city, because we are set up like little individual townships.
Absolutely.
They do. The park is kind of right in the middle, and that's where the young people go to play on the swings or people walk.
Yeah, well, I always find it interesting. I mean, because I am a native Chicagoan.
So am I.
And then when you ask people, you know, where they're from, it's either they say their local parish or they say their park.
Yes.
You know, oh, I'm from, you know, Holstein Park, or I'm from Wells, or I'm from, you know, whatever park that would be. So that's, you know, it's kind of unique to Chicago.
I think so, too. And you have a very big responsibility on your shoulders, and you're doing a wonderful job for all of us. We appreciate so much
that. We love doing it.
Well, you have a good day, and I appreciate you calling in.
Okay, well, thank you for having me.
And, you know, use us or the station if you have something that's coming up. It's a big event. We'll print it in the paper.
Okay.
But on top of that, if you want to call in any time, feel free to do. You're so much for the... We've got to do more for the people. Everybody has to work together.
And, absolutely.
So we're all in positions. Maybe we can help people a little more than the average.
Sure,
so
sure.
Let us know what's going on.
We appreciate everything you do for us.
You take care.
Okay,
thank you.
Thank you.
Have a good day.
Holiday.
Happy
you.
Easter.
You too.
Thank you, Judy.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Here's a fellow who does a lot for the community all the time, Birch Optical. Paul Birch and his partner, Ken Schmalzer, have been running Birch Optical together for quite a few years, but this is actually the 69th anniversary for Birch. Three generations of the Birch family have owned and started and owned this wonderful optical company at 5493 Milwaukee Avenue. Their phone number is 773-775-3300. And I think our listeners might remember that Paul Birch was on the radio with us about 2 weeks ago. Very, very interesting conversation we had with him. And he'll be joining us again in a few weeks.
We've gotten a lot of calls on that.
We
Paul
have.
Paul really put this perspective about eyes and how we should use them and take care of them in the right way, in the right manner. And he was very interesting and good on the radio. He was very relaxed and he enjoyed it, and he really knows his business, a real pro.
Yes, and we really had a few more topics, sunglasses we were going to talk about, for example, with you know, the season coming along when most of us are looking to have sunglasses. So he'll be back with us soon on that. But in the meantime, do give them a call and set up an appointment for an eye exam. He's offering actually $25 off on a complete set of eyewear if you say that you heard about him on our program. His number once again is 773-775-3300. They honor most major insurance plans, and of course they're a full service operation. They have professional certified opticians, quality eyewear, contact lenses, all the accessories, and of course eye exams. Birch Optical, 5493 Milwaukee Avenue in Gladstone Park, 773-775-3300.
Well, I hope Pat gets back to us. She had a few more things to say. I hope she just calls in. That's all. She's a very busy person.
Well, we want to be able to help her out with what she'd like to convey. Yes.
So
we had mentioned at the beginning of the program that we're going to be, as we have done a few times so far during the course of our program since we started back in December, offered some prizes for people who call in with interesting information, or perhaps we'll have some contests where they'll be answering questions. And we have some theater tickets on a regular basis that we would like to give give to the lucky winners. And also Mirabelle, Chef Werner's Mirabelle Restaurant and Lounge on Addison Street in Chicago has offered gift certificates, so you might win one of those as well. The Mirabelle is open for Mother's Day. Usually they're closed on Sundays, but every Mother's Day they're open from 12 noon to 8 p.m. And that may sound a little far in the future, but actually it's not, to make your reservations. They have early bird specials Monday through Friday. They're open 7 days a week, six days a week. And they wish Happy Easter from the Heil family and their staff to all of those out there in the community. That's Chef Werner's Mirabelle Restaurant and Lounge, who've been serving German and American cuisine in the best fashion for quite a few years now. The Heil family.
Yes, very good. Mm-hmm. We're at 708-493-1530. We, of course, go off quite in the next few minutes, but if you have a quick question or want to say something, please give us a call. Pat, if you're still out there, give us a call.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, you and I are going to be going to the Mirabelle. I just wanted to finish up, too, because I hadn't indicated what the gift certificates would be. But if you call and win a prize from them, you'll obtain a gift certificate and then take it in and use it for dinner. So that's a nice help. But they're located at 3454 West Addison Street. So it's right kind of on the way to Wrigley Field. If
right
you're going
on the way
over
to
there.
See the old ball game.
Yeah, the Cubbies.
Is it being sold this year? So
yeah.
Hopefully they'll keep the old stadium.
Oh, somebody will be there.
That's nice.
And then after or before the theater, Mirabelle is a wonderful place to go for that.
Mm-hmm.
And they have a nice lounge, a couple of different interesting dining rooms with all of the beautiful German and Austrian decorations. And those early bird specials are nice, too. Give them a call and make a reservation, though, at 773-463-1962. That's 773-463-1962. Make sure to book your Mother's Day early for the Mirabelle.
Very good. Well, it's coming towards the close of the show, and Easter, Passover is coming up this next week. All the events are starting and so forth, and we hope everybody will enjoy it and have a very safe time at it. We'll be talking again next week, of course. And next week we have some interesting things, I believe, on. Do you have the list at all, Chris? Yes.
I do?
Yes. We have two newspapers, and I'm the fortunate one sometimes has to put some of this together. I'm going to read one of these days and find out what we've got going. Next week, we've got Richard Eisenhardt, who's our theater critic, is on. He's very interesting. Bosley, the King of Canines, is going to be on. And he's running for president, don't forget.
Yes, and he's trying to organize the canines of the world to have a holiday, especially for canines.
Yes, not just for canines. We want to get a holiday going for all these little people, that animals that become little people in your house.
Yes. Companions.
They really do. They're companions.
Friends.
And we're going to have some great neighborhood highlights. So
in
that'll
our new
be next
series,
week.
Ethnic Chicago,
ethnic
will continue.
Ethnic Chicago has been going on, and all of Chicago is ethnic. I mean, there's, 16 or 17 different neighborhoods, all of which had come from a country and had settled there.
That's right.
And so you've got a tremendous amount of differences in this city.
And one of the big differences that has been made to the Northwest side is with the advent of the Edison Park Inn. Of course, they've been there for quite a few years now with their wood-burning oven pizza and a whole lot more. They're open 7 days a week from 11 o'clock. They have a website, edisonparkinn.net. They're located at 6715 North Olmsted. They have a full-service lounge with all sporting events on satellite and cable. And they offer a private room upstairs for billiards, bowling, and music, so you can have private parties for maybe business events or family functions. You can reserve that just for your own. Edison Park Inn at 6715 North Olmsted. Their phone number is 773-775-1404, or visit them online, edisonparkinn.net. We'd like to say goodbye to our listeners out there. Have a happy holiday week, happy Easter, pleasant and safe Passover.
Chicago, I will show you around.